Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Taylor, the communication doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do.
Hello, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Tally the Communication Doctor. And today on my show, I have Eleanor Snare, and Eleanor Snare is an artist, a writer, and an educator. Welcome, Eleanor!
Thank you, Tanya! Excited to be here and to talk with you.
No, it's really, really, really exciting because I can't believe I'm actually doing this, actually, because I've thought about it for such a long time. You know, when you think about something, you think, okay, let's just do it. Because this is a bit of a last minute thing for me, because I thought to myself, gosh, it's 2020. We're going into the winter solstice, and it's a real big shift in terms of going into that Aquarius energy. And there's so much going on. I really want to talk about it on my podcast. But how am I going to incorporate that, I thought? Well, I thought, you know what? We're going to incorporate this in terms of bringing it into the real stories as we talk about illness, talking about astrology, talking about the shift of energy, and also bringing the numerology. And I've never done this in this way before. So just to let my audience know, it's a little bit of a practice as well. So we're talking about the solstice, but also in terms of working like this, I'm just experimenting and seeing how this will go. So the first thing I asked Eleanor before she came on the show was, this is different, if she could tell me what her SMR is. Now, for those of you thinking, what the hell is an SMR? I'll just give you a little bit of background. An SMR in astrology is your sun, your moon, and your rising. Okay? So would you like to tell, and that kind of gives the person a little bit of an idea of that person's personality, because we are not just our sun, there is so many different planets and so many different elements to us. So I just want you to tell my audience, Eleanor, what your SMR is, please.
Sure. So my sun sign is Aquarius. My moon sign is Leo. And my rising sign is Virgo.
Beautiful.
So a nice fun mix. That's what I would say.
What does that mean to you, just to kind of break it down? Because I mean, the way that I always interpret with astrology is the sun is what we present to the world, the moon is kind of who we are internally, and the rising is where we're going. So I kind of simplify it in that way. But what's your interpretation? Because I know that you love astrology as well. So how would you interpret your SMR?
So my interpretation is that my sun sign, so that's the sign that you were born in, like this, you know, for people who are very new to astrology, it's the kind of one that you look up in the paper of when your birthday is. That is the core of who I am. So that is kind of my soul's intention or my spiritual kind of expression in some way. My moon, which again, you would need to look up where the moon was, in what sign the moon was on your birthday. So it's a different one. For me, that's Leo. For me, that's more about kind of my emotions, maybe some of the more private parts of myself, as you, some of the bits you maybe don't show as much to the world. But particularly the kind of emotional language that you use, I would say that's how I would read a moon sign. And then the rising sign for me is how all of these things, all of these components of our personality kind of come to pass in the world or manifest in the world. So while the sun sign is really important, actually for me and perhaps for other people, it doesn't always come through, because often it might come through unconsciously,
yes,
or it might come through in unexpected ways, because sometimes that part of you can be quite sensitive, and you might feel perhaps protective of, as you would be, that the kind of most innermost kind of special soul-led part of ourselves, sometimes we can kind of hide behind maybe something like our rising sign. That's how I read it. So, and for me, that's quite an interesting one in terms of the placement of mine and what it means for how I am actually am in the world, or how I'm perceived in the world, versus who I truly am at my core, can sometimes feel perhaps quite different. And I've experienced that in my life, of having what feels like radically different kind of experiences. But I think one of the joys of astrology and learning more about it, or any sort of like numerology or anything like that, is actually recognizing that, as you said at the beginning, we are complex beings with all these different parts to ourselves. We're not just one thing. They kind of interlock and interrelate in a really beautiful way.
I mean, for me, because I love the whole personality types, body language and astrology, and also I studied the Hebrew numerology. So for me, I like how you can bring astrology and numerology together. And I feel that's kind of part of our interest, because you spoke about, you know, it's not being everything, but it's about your experience. So your experience also defines who you are. But what I find really interesting is when I do a numerology reading, I can see somebody's experience through their numbers. And I feel that was interesting even doing your reading, because I did a reading for you, didn't I,
yes,
with regards to Hebrew numerology, which a lot of people maybe aren't familiar with, but without going into depth, because it's a personal thing, I think readings are. But it was really interesting to see some experiences just by looking at the numbers, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah.
So what did you find with that? What did you find with regards to, after you had the reading with me of the Hebrew numerology, what did you kind of get out from that? Just that it'd be interesting.
What I found quite intriguing was that it was a really interesting way of kind of articulating and summarizing some of the experiences I've had, the things I'm interested in a way that I just would have never kind of summarize them. So I think one of the things was, if I remember correctly, one of the parts is your kind of skills and traits, like your abilities and which ones you're going to use, either which ones you've relied on in the past to get to where you are now, but and then the ones that you're going to rely on in the future. And the ones you said that I was going to rely on the future, or I was going to be drawn to, I think this is the right part, was earth, emotions and society.
Yes, that's the eight.
So this idea of this interconnectedness of these three things. And I've always been super interested in all of those three things. I'm, you know, deeply passionate about humanitarian and kind of revolutionary causes. I really feel very connected to nature. I am part of nature, and I really believe in our intimacy with it. And in terms of emotions, a lot of what I've done in my career has been trying to establish ideas of empathy and emotional understanding in what I do and what I teach. But I would have never put those three things together. And after the reading, I kind of went, oh, this is like a whole thing. There's a whole opportunity to join these three elements together. And the more I'm learning about it, I'm actually in the middle or starting, I would say, a research project at the moment. And it is fundamentally exploring, you know, a small aspect of that interconnectedness. But I don't think I would have kind of known as clearly that is what it was. And I wouldn't have maybe, you know, we really love having labels and definitions to help guide us and to say, you know, I am a blah, I am a whatever, and that includes in our interests. You know, I'm interested in this specific thing, and it really helps me to know that those are the three things, they're connected, and that's what I want to talk about, that's what I want to explore and build on. So I really, really loved that, and I found that to be just a really fantastic articulation of something that, in a way, actually, I think relating it to astrology binds together my three, the Aquarius, the Leo and the Virgo.
Yes.
In that it is about society and social good. Mm. It is about emotional expression and comfort with emotional expression and being oneself, and about basically the planet and making things happen on the planet, and that kind of the manifest experience, the earthly plane. So I feel like it kind of went, oh, that's an alignment. And that was really, I just really loved that. And I was like, I'm super appreciative of having that experience with you and having that articulation of it. It really opened my eyes to like something that I had within me, but I didn't know how to, like the best way to describe it.
Oh, bless you.
I really loved that.
I'm glad, because I mean, I suppose the way that I read, I mean, what I just picked up there was, what I didn't mention was we're looking at your elements. So we're looking at fire and earth. That's what the mate, your SMR was kind of the elements of the fire and the earth. And I thought that's really interesting, actually, when we do look at that eight energy as well, with that herbs and emotions, that's connecting to the fire I see as kind of the ego, but also passion. And then the earth is about stability, security, structure, all those, all the S's. I always kind of put them through with all the S's. But what I just wanted to say was with the soul, kind of the soul purpose reading, which I, that's what I call the numerology reading, what we're looking at is the three things, which is are your challenges, your talents, and your goals. Mm. And for me, I try to see the challenges as a gift. Because it's also with even with astrology, we may look at certain astrology, we might look at certain signs. And if you've had a bad experience, people may say the negative things about the sign. Mm. But for me, I always try to look at the positive elements of that sign. And when you find the positive elements, then you can see, because even like some people may say, oh, I don't know, some signs stubborn, for example. So I think about, well, what's that word? What is stubborn? You know, what's the positive side of stubborn? You know, because there's always something that we can manifest and we can bring forward. If we don't look at it as, when we're doing a reading for someone, if we look at, okay, what are those elements that we can draw out that are positive? And that's how I do a reading. I suppose not everyone's a reading like that, but that's how I see it, because I don't like labels, even though I'm looking at astrology. But you can have people that read and they start to look at the labels and they start to see the negative sides. Like some people say, might say, oh, you think about a Scorpio, they may think about that being quite somebody who's all about themselves or something that's sexual, because that's a lie. And that's actually not how I see it. I see the love element, you know, I see the sensitivity when I see the water. So every, and then other people may look, I don't know, may look at Leo, I'm a Leo myself. And we look at that, they, I often have heard people talk about vanity. And I think, no, actually, a lot of the Leos are very sensitive. And they love to inspire, they love to perform. So it's trying to see what is a positive of that sign. And that kind of, for me, pulls us into the energy of what we're going into in 2021. I just wanted to kind of move that into now. So because it real stories, I'm still playing with this idea of this is about Eleanor, but also we're going to bring in all those other elements, the astrology and everything else. So I'm going to ask you, as you go into 2021, what are your predictions for yourself?
Oh, wowzers. Wow, that is just, okay, that's really interesting. So one of my predictions, I believe, is that I will, I will put into practice what I have learned this year from what has been a very intensive kind of annum of learning. So I'm just completing in January, or very early January, I will be completing a year-long leadership course, which has been retreats, coaching, self-development, all sorts of different stuff. At the same time, I've kind of invested more in my own personal education than ever before. My job, I got a promotion in my job, so I've taken on new responsibilities. I've got new research capabilities, so I'm doing that. So I'm just like, all of this stuff has just been put in my head at a time when also the world has been kind of cracked wide open about what can be possible and what we can do with concerted effort and what systems are broken and what things haven't been working. And we kind of knew that, but this year was like, no, FYI, they really are. So much has poured in. And I feel for me that one of the predictions, yeah, is 2021 is going to be putting into practice all of that information. So I kind of had to have a sponge period where I just sucked it all in. And now it's a case of, right, and what does that mean for my life? So not just surviving and coping and dealing with shit and reflecting on it, but actually getting on with it.
Yes.
And I've for the past few years, I've had like a phrase of the year. Normally, so people have a word of the year or something like that. But yeah, I normally have a phrase, because it's a fun slogan that you can put on a t-shirt. Mm. And, you know, one year it was 100%. Then it was life is for living. And next year,
life is for living.
In 2021, I've kind of been musing on what that's going to be. And I had thought it was going to be do less, be more. But I actually, after reflection and a discussion with a very good friend of mine, I believe that it's going to be do less, be myself. Because even the idea of being more, this idea of having to do more or being more or kind of adding, is, I don't really think that's what we need. If anything, this year has taught us, kind of for me anyway, it has taught me what I crucially need and what I turn to in kind of times of worry, and what as societies and as a population we need. What are the key things that we need to survive and that have been lacking for huge numbers of people? So it's less about doing and even being more, but actually being ourselves. And I think I predict there's going to be, for me, it's not finding a place of belonging, but accepting that place.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of requirement that it's just easier to not belong.
Mm.
And it can feel easier to be the outsider, because then you can just be aloof, and you don't have to be vulnerable, and you don't have to commit. You can just walk away. And actually I think I've found lots of places where I belong. And then another prediction would be next year that I will truly come to accept those in very meaningful ways. I'm starting to do that already, but I think it will solidify, and part of that will be the doing less, being myself. So those would be kind of little set of predictions. Other than that, I mean, I can't give you any concrete information about what I'll do, because
you don't know, because that's the unknown.
I don't know.
I love that, because I don't know what your personal year, I haven't looked at what your personal year is, but for me it's interesting, it's a six in terms of the energy I'm going into six, and the world 2021 is going into a five, yeah, because it's what you do to work out what the number is, just add up all the numbers, you know. And what's interesting, we've just come out of a year of four, which is all about breaking free. It's all about breaking free from some of these structures, and now we're creating new structures, and it's going to continue. This is kind of from an energetic or from a numerologist perspective. So as you go into five signifies freedom. And it also signifies that cycle, kind of keeping the momentum, allowing things to flow. And if it doesn't, I feel like we've come out of prison in some ways. It feels like 2020 has been like, in some elements, we've been locked in and lots of restrictions. But part of those restrictions has also allowed us to see things being brought to the surface, like the Black Lives Matter, like, you know, and how the NHS is in this country. There's been lots that have come up. But then from another perspective, the positive is we've been still, and because we've been still, we've been able to really see some of the darkness in the world. And now we can address it. So I feel it's about kind of pushing that forward. And then the reason I ask you what's personal for you, because I always feel like it's really interesting to know what people's personal energy is, and then to see what the exterior is, because then that contributes to what you've wanted to do personally. Yeah. So for myself, I kind of thought, I actually was quite firm with myself, because I've had a year of yes. I had 2 years ago, I said, that's a year of yes. And that was a year of saying, for me, saying yes to opportunities. I think I put it on LinkedIn, and I was really kind of excited after reading Shonda Rhimes. But now, for me, it's like, no shit.
Nice.
So I've gone through this whole cycle, and it's like, actually, sometimes I have that yes energy went into the following year, and I'm such a giver. Sometimes I need my boundaries because I can tend to put other people first. And actually, with not as a mother, it's important to put myself first so I can recharge my battery and then for everybody else. And then as a woman, it's important to do that. So it's finding those boundaries and saying no to things that I don't want to do, that I don't want to do. And that for me is really powerful. So it's almost like I'm going to say yes to what I want. And I've been starting to do that already towards the end of the year, in terms of saying, I'm not going to go to this group. I'm not going to go to that group. I'm not going to go to that. And it's nothing wrong with the groups or anything else. It's just about, what do I really enjoy? Mm. And I've said no to opportunities that have come my way, because I feel like saying no to opportunities sometimes gets you to the opportunity that you really want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're absolutely I think the last few months, my experience has echoed that. I have just done much, much less, to basically no detriment.
Mm.
You know, there's, I changed, so now I only check and respond to my emails once a week. Probably one of the best things I've ever done. Some people that we have been or will be horrified at that idea. But there's, you know, this idea of that, if you want to, I really believe, if, and this is something that really I feel this year has been a kind of cementing of this knowledge for me, but if you really want to do something truly significant and meaningful in your life, in your society, in your culture, in your world, whatever it is, whatever scale, you are going to have to stop doing a lot of stuff that you're doing at the moment.
Mm.
Because big ideas and strong ideas take time to mature and develop.
Exactly.
And it's like cheese or a wine or something, you know, the good stuff gets stored for a long time. Mm. But I think we've got a bit kind of trigger happy with talking about half-baked, and I've done this, you know, you want people to listen to you and your ego wants to be seen and you want to take part and you want to share and you want to, you know, your message is so powerful and you care about it so much that you want to get it out there and tell everyone. So you end up kind of sharing these, like, frankly, a bit like half-baked slash and not really fully understood, even in yourself, ideas that you haven't really got a grasp of. And there's always going to be some stuff about our ideas, about concepts, big level, you know, high level concepts that we don't get. That's fine. I'm not saying it needs to be perfect.
Mm.
I'm saying that it needs to be robust. And that means that you are going out into the world with something that, you know, it's like if you pass the baton to someone, if we think about an act of communication as passing the baton to someone else, they're going to repeat it to someone else. You want to hold them up. You want to give them a proper baton, not something that's like half on fire or going to break in half, or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it needs to have, it needs to have some solidity to it. And definitely similar to your experience these last few months, I've just stopped doing and saying and going to things because I just don't have enough to say.
Mm.
That I feel is meaningful. And I hope that 2021 is going to be a process of bringing some of that to life, some of those ideas in a more complex or nuanced, as I said, solid way. But there's no rush to do that, you know. The kind of the transformative energy, whether you see it as a social transformation or one that is kind of astrologically predicted with the age of Aquarius, it's going to take a long time for transformation to stick. So it's okay, and this is me saying it to myself as well, it's okay for it to take time for you personally to kind of lean into that change and that new behavior and that new way of being in the world, that new person
that you are.
And like, but some of that, you know, what we were, I was joking with my partner, but we love the phrase, you can't have everything, where would you put it? And it's kind of like, you can't do everything, you know, and neither really should we be aiming to do all of these things if they're not contributing to that kind of pure, meaningful thing that you are going to give to the world, you've got to make some choices. And I think that's an Aquarius thing, is that you are, I feel we Aquarian energy is very willing to kind of cut away and say, this is what is right, this is what, this is the transformation, this is the movement, and to almost not do some things, because, you know, we can't do everything. We have to just pick a thing.
Yeah. No, I love that. And for me, as you're talking, it's pulling so many things together, because, you know, I mean, we are going into this age of Aquarius, and for people that don't know, what happens is Jupiter and Saturn are aligned and they come together, and that kind of creates this energy of the Aquarius energy, which is really, 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 really powerful. And there's lots of, I know this is going to go out on the 21st, and I know myself, I haven't picked which meditation group I'm going to go through, because there is so much out there to kind of take you in from, you know, the 20th into the 21st of December, this is going to go out on the 21st of December. And I feel like it's so important to do that meditation and to go on that journey. And I see it as a manifesting time, a time to manifest, but to be able to manifest, as what you've said and what I've said, I feel in the same kind of a way, is that to being able to say no. Yeah. Able to say
absolutely
no to things. So as you said, with this Aquarius energy, so you can focus on what you need to. And I always feel, when I feel about the Aquarius energy, I feel about like a shed, you know, the shed in the back garden or something. If someone has a shed in the back garden, you'd often find the Aquarian in there. It's like that little mini G. It's like, I need to find this place on my own.
So I used to have an allotment, and I built the shed from scratch on that allotment, and I just spent so much time there. Yeah. And then recently we've got a garage that's in our house that we rent, but we don't have a car. So yeah. I just cleared out the garage, and afterwards I was like, oh, basically I've just made myself a kind of secret shed space.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is absolutely the Aquarians in the shed. And when you walk in, you're like, wow, I didn't expect all of this stuff to be in a shed. But it's not a hermit energy, although I think that's maybe a part of it, but it's almost like, I think sometimes people who understand about astrology will say things like Aquarians are aloof or they're detached or whatever. But there's part of that which is, you got to step back to see the big picture.
Exactly. Yeah.
And like, you, if you're right up here with it, if it's right in front of your face, you can't see the further wood for the trees. And I think the shed, that metaphorical shed, is about stepping back and going, I can see it clearly now, and I can see the kind of systems and the weaving and the beauty of it. But some of that stuff is also, saying no and taking bits away. But it's hard to do that when you're like in the middle of the doing, and let's face it, the doing is exciting, and kind of getting stuff done and bringing things to life is really exciting. But again, it's only worth that energy if it's contributing to this bigger, kind of more coherent picture, I guess, of what you're trying to do on the planet.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, it's interesting. And when you apply that to the world in terms, I see it as a bit of genius energy. I see it as a creative space. Interesting. When you said from the negative is people can see it as aloof, and for me, because I love freedom, because we're opposite signs, just to let people know, so the Leo and Aquarius are opposite signs, so you often find a lot of partnerships. It's interesting how I didn't know what star sign you were, but how I think me and you, Renella, we've developed quite a friendship, and there's an understanding there. And I feel with the opposite signs there's an understanding, and what you do find if you look at a lot of famous people, there's a lot of Aquarius Leo couples that last long term, because they are opposite. You find that within astrology, that some of the opposite signs can work together. It's like the yin and the yang, and if you allow it, because they are opposite, so they bring different things to the table. But then if you allow that to happen, you can really inspire and help others. And I see with that Aquarius energy, in terms of how it comes into the world, is it's time to create. I see it's very much a creative energy, and to create you need to step back to see what's in front of you, so you can then research, because I always see Aquarians as well as great researchers, whenever it's an argument. It's always a hard debate, well, especially when you've got Leo and Aquarius. It's a hard debate because we like to we don't like to lose.
I know. And it's exhausting.
But the beauty of that is, you know, there's so much to the table. You know what's really beautiful? When I looked at us both, me and you, numerologically, in terms of from the Hebrew numerology, we both got the same soul essence, and that soul essence is 12-3. And the 12-3 is about love and knowledge. So it's a love for knowledge. So I know I'm a course junkie and I love to learn. And that's what's really lovely meeting you, because you're the same. You love to learn. And both of us have probably been on various different courses. We've talked about astrology, we've talked about numerology, and we've also talked about tarot, which we can bring in as well, because I know you're a lover of tarot as well. And they all kind of tie in together in terms of what that is about, you know, and what that means in terms of trying to, you can almost read someone's personality just by having a look at those numbers in the astrology, if you want to, if that's something that you're into. And I just find that fascinating. So going into this Aquarius energy for the world is about creating new structure, about, and also with the five energy, is about breaking free in order to do that. So it's going to be really interesting as we go into 2021. And I have to kind of get the lyrics off that track, one of my favorite tracks, because I love musical theater. I think I sent it to you on a message. It's like, we're going to the age of Aquarius, and I just love that. They say harmony and understanding, sympathy, trust, and is, as you know, sympathy and trust, and the golden living dreams of visions of mystic crystals and revelations. It's all about, and the mind's true liberation. I've just put some of the words down here, but if you want to check out that song. But that's kind of what is happening, the idea of liberation, you know, the idea of building dreams, the idea of having these visions. And a lot of us have big dreams, but it's about manifesting those big dreams. And I feel if everyone's going into that energy, we're probably all going to find ourselves saying, I want to do this now. And I'm really sure, or I want to work with this person. So I feel there's going to be lots of communities, lots of people coming together to create something different. So I'm quite excited about going into 2020.
Yeah, for sure. And there's I see it as a kind of, you know, weirdos of the world unite. That's kind of what the vibe is.
I love
because
it.
That is like, you know, it can be very difficult whether or not you have that your astrological sign is Aquarius. But if you feel like you resonate with those ideas of transformation, innovation, creativity, but at a kind of level which sometimes feels quite uncomfortable, that you see the world in this kind of what feels like bizarre way, that you are inherently misunderstood, or you are unable to communicate what you've got in a way that can be understood. I actually think this is a fantastic time to start working out, actually, there's nothing wrong with me. It's just, but that's really hard. I think the biggest, from my experience, but also from other people with these Aquarian traits that I know, the biggest hurdle is feeling that it's okay, and that you belong in that kind of, that you belong here in our human family. And there's a really exciting bit where you go, actually, you know, maybe I'm not weird, maybe it's just that no one was ready. Because when we think about some of the most incredible innovations of our time, whether they are scientific, cultural, technological, political, the original idea stemmed from sometimes decades before the first manifestation of it. So I really love the idea that, you know, knowing the shift to a more just society is the likelihood is it is going to take, to be honest, centuries, if not decades, you know, ideally decades. But maybe centuries. It's like, what idea could you share now that in 50 years will make sense?
Yeah.
And like, that's, I think there's some really powerful ways that we can think about our legacy, to not be thinking about even your own lifetime, but thinking about the sort of 50 to 100 year legacy plan of how are my ideas, if I come up with something that is so resonant. And again, it doesn't matter whether people get it now or not, because if it's a great idea and it's meaningful to the human, you know, species, or even to the planet as a whole, as a holistic kind of being, it will have its day.
Yeah.
And it will be meaningful. But you've got to like believe. You've got to just be brave enough to be weird and say, look, this is a thing that I think might be useful to you. I'm going to put it out there and let's just see where it goes.
Yeah. Most definitely. And I think that's what's so exciting about going into energy. And that's if, and you know what, and that may be for some people, but not for everyone. So it depends. If you are a leader, you'll take that kind of stance. If you're a teacher, you may take that stance, you know, and there'll be other people that just want to have the experience and follow, you know?
Yeah. And you don't have,
which is beautiful. I feel, you know, I love the kind of, sometimes for me, I love the experience of sometimes actually, I'm not going to be the teacher here because I am the teacher. Yeah. Like most times I'm the teacher. Actually, I just want to go on the ride. Do you know?
Yeah.
You know? And that's,
I think if we can see ourselves as perpetual students, there's this wonderful, I read a book this year called The Aquarian Age by George Trevelyan, who's kind of one of the founding fathers of the kind of British European New Age movement back in the 70s. And he describes the planet as the school of Earth, and he says we're here to learn.
Yes.
And I think it doesn't really matter whether you are a CEO or a teacher or a parent or the most junior person in your company, you can be a student and you can be a leader, because they are, you know, the best leaders are these kind of students of life.
Yeah.
And students of humanity. And I think there's that's how you kind of temper the Aquarian aloofness, is by saying, no, I'm still learning. No matter how incredible I become, no matter how much leadership I have, no matter how much education I have, I will never know everything. And what a fantastic position to be in, to be open to that knowledge and to see everyone, everything in the world as a teacher, which again requires an openness and a vulnerability that is scary, but
it's
so possible and enriching, right? And if I kind of feel like the Leo energy, that's what that teaches me and myself, is, you know, for me the Leo is so much about to be loved for who you are, and the Aquarius energy is I love you all. That's how I feel. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
And I think there's something really wonderful to learn about that Leo energy, to say, I am myself and I'm loved.
Mm.
And to have that kind of reflection of that, because that, and you don't need anyone else to tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a you thing in your heart. But I mean, that's why I think, you know, it's interesting you said about the opposing sign, because obviously I've got Aquarius Sun and Leo Moon, which are directly
opposite each
in
other.
In opposition. Pretty much. I think I'm just looking at my chart now. They're 1 degree out.
Oh,
so
wow.
They are directly in opposition. So for my entire life, I've kind of had this feeling of being torn apart, and I've talked about this quite a bit this year, but it's the realization that I'm not torn apart, I'm the bridge pulling these two things together, and I can kind of move along this spectrum, which has quite different ends,
yes,
but in the middle. And if I can draw from both of those energies, just like anyone with any kind of what they perceive to be opposing forces within themselves, you know, however they want to read that, however they want to describe that through whatever lens, you don't have to see them as like competing. Oh, we don't have to see our lives as competing. We can see it as collaborating. And I think that's quite, I think that I always find that, you know, I love being a drama queen sometimes. It's like so fun. And like, I'm so emotionally expressive. And I really, my dad, you know, said to me a long time ago, you wear your heart on your sleeve and don't have it any other way. And then other times it's like I can just be so cool and logical and just step back. And I think for other people that must be quite weird to kind of see
that
diversity, those two different sides. But actually it means that when I come into a conversation or a difficult thought or a difficult feeling, I can bring in those different views, and I can kind of work around it in a more measured way rather than feeling like, you know, torn or tugged either side. But yeah, I think there's a lot we can learn from the opposing, as you said, the opposing energy of that moment as we go into 2021, and that the joyfulness of Leo as well, and the playfulness, and the it's okay to be happy, it's okay to have fun even when everything seems like it's shit, it's okay to have a laugh.
You know what, I always really battle with that one. So it's so funny that you mentioned that, because I'm very much an optimist, and I'm very much a big kid, very much, and my children will tell you that I'm a real big kid, and I've got two earth children, so sometimes they're like my it's like a reverse role.
My son
says, "Mummy, please don't dance," or he's like at a wedding or something like that, you know, "Well, please don't do that." But then the other side is my daughter says, "But Mummy, you are really funny." So we do have a lot of fun, we do have that play energy, and I think it's just so important to bring all of that together as we move forward. I think that's one of the beauties of that kind of that sun energy, do you know. And it is lovely, interesting, you know, talking to you about your SMR and talking to you about, you know, the fire energy of the Leo and then the air. And then you've got the earth. So you that's quite a lot of balance there with your SMR, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, which I think, again, I would never have described it as balanced maybe a year ago. Like learning more about it has helped me see that. And also that Virgo trait of, you know, I just get things done to a point where I didn't realize that was unusual. Like I didn't realize that it was unusual to like do all these things and like have ideas and get them done and stuff. But again, I think as we were talking about before we started recording, I think sometimes I've relied on that more than I've relied on the genuine emotional and conceptual engagement that is at the heart of who I am. Because I feel kind of okay, just boom, 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 get things done, tick, tick, tick. Here's all the things, here's all the stuff I've made, I've created, da, da, da.
Yeah.
I've actually relied on that. And it's kind of meant that muscle is really strong.
Yes.
But maybe the muscles of the core part of who I am, the muscles of my soul almost, are less, need a workout. And I kind of think 2021 is going to be the year where they get that workout.
I totally agree. And I think that's really exciting. I feel that's a nice way to kind of bring this to a close. 2021 energy is all about a workout. Give it a workout.
Yeah. Give the right bits, you know, have a leg day.
Yeah.
2021 is leg day. So all the bits that you've got to work out for the rest of your life, just give him a bit of a stretch, do some squats.
So, you know, it's so funny about squats. I was at the gym yesterday and I'm still aching, and I was squatting 10, so I had 5 kg on each side. So I was squatting 10 kg.
Wow.
And for me, I normally just squat 5, but I'd only ease in. And then I got challenged by the instructor. She said to me, "Oh, why don't you just do 10? Do 10. I was like, "Yeah, of course, yeah." And like I'm aching now. I can't move, but I did it exactly. It's just going through it, you know, and it's pushing forward. So that workout, bring it on, you know, in terms of the workout of life, the workout of life, the workout of that mind, the mind working out as well, and sticking to that, and that the focus of being able to do that as well, and sticking to that, and just enjoying that. And the Aquarius energy is about, there is that whole thing of the Aquarius energy of just being themselves no matter what, you know? Do you know?
Fuck it.
Yeah. Like, so we're talking about prince.
Yeah.
Like we said earlier.
You know, sometimes I think, like, you know, we have been alive on this planet at the same time that Prince was alive, that David Bowie, Kate Bush, Stevie Nicks, Madonna. So you sitting there going, "I'm a bit too afraid to do that." Come on. Like, look at these people who've gone before you, and not being funny, I know David Bowie started off terribly. Like, but these people, they are not, you know, they are not aliens sent from outer space that we know of. They are not somehow, you know, they came from the same flesh and blood and world that you did. And they just went, "Do you know what? Whatever you think, I'm going to do my thing."
Yeah.
And you've got to, like, I haven't always felt okay about that, but I know that I've subconsciously done it anyway, whether I wanted to consciously or not. And there is such a joy in just going, yeah, actually, this is my vibe and I really love it and that's okay. And it's also okay if you don't like it. I'm good with that. So, and I think the a part of the Aquarian energy is the self-assuredness that if people don't like you, that's totally fine. Yeah. And not in a mean way, in a very loving way. But yeah, you've got, what have you got to lose to be to be the kind of, in a safe way, you know, keep yourself safe, but all of those things you kind of wanted to do but you thought you were too weird, this Aquarian is telling, giving you permission to do it in 2021. Go for it.
Totally. And I see it's like being accepting of oneself no matter what, because at the end of the day in the world, no, not everyone's going to like you. We can't have that people pleasing energy because not everyone's going to like you. And that's part of you just finding your tribe and being okay with that. And I feel once you're okay with that, that's really powerful, actually. It's really amazing. Really powerful. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's like saying no, you know, the same thing as not doing as much.
Yeah.
It's not school. You don't have to be friends with everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like you can choose and be chosen, I think, as well.
Mm. And I think that's really important. And I think that's what happens. And that's part of what you said earlier about the school of life and those lessons in life. Because I see life like that as well. And with the kind of soul purpose readings, I always say that's about life. And that's about going on that lesson and that journey. And actually, sometimes you pass the test and sometimes you don't. And I connect that from, if I look at like therapy, I connect that in terms of our patterns as human beings. When we can identify what our patterns are, and we want to stop our patterns, well, we have to stop that behavior, but we have to recognize from the past what the patterns have been to learn the lesson, to get the A star, so you can then evolve to another level. And that's how I see life as well. So that's kind of brought it together. Well, I just want to say, it's been brilliant me talking to you today. And I just want to say from Tanya the Communication Doctor, yeah, it's been great. I'm Tanya, Communication Doctor. I can speak now, so I've been so relaxed. And Eleanor Snare. I just like to say, adios.
Bye.
Oh my God, I've got so many takeaways from this show today. First of all, it was really exciting for me to ask Eleanor about her SMR and really look at that in depthly. It was lovely because she had the mixture of the air, the fire and the earth. And it was interesting to see how that plays out in her life and how some of those energies may have affected her opinions and how she was looking forward. But what was lovely as well was something we said about in terms of what we want for 2021. And I remember I said something about I want to say no and create boundaries. And also what Eleanor says is she wants to do less but be more of herself, and to do that she also felt the same as me in terms of letting go of stuff. And she said if you truly want to do something meaningful, you need to stop doing a lot of stuff. Big ideas and strong ideas take time to develop. That is just such an Aquarian quote, I felt. And just to add to it, another great takeaway from what Eleanor said was when she put the question out as to say, what ideas can you share now that in 50 years will make sense or make a difference? And for me, that is just incredibly powerful. Now, thank you for listening to the show. And also, I want to say, if you really enjoyed this way of working and looking at the astrology and numerology with regards to looking at a person's personality, please leave some comments. And also, if not, just send me an email at info@communicationdoctor.co.uk. It'd be really lovely to hear from you. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.